All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, welcome to a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on this gloomy Wednesday in the big city. We are here. Hopefully you are there listening to us, and we will take you along on a ride for the next 3 hours.
What a ride it's gonna be.
Well, let's hope so anyway. It's always the way we optimistically open the show.
I noticed you and Charlie did a cheer.
I turned it into one. Because that's one of those where you would do that coming out of a huddle kind of thing.
Right.
He just decided that his parting shot would be, okay, boys, dominate.
Oh, dominate. That's right. Then you were like, one, two, three, dominate.
Yeah.
We don't do that. We should do that as a show.
No, we really should.
We should have a pre-show prayer.
Nah.
And then everybody put their hand in the circle.
We don't play it on OKC.
Like, I'll be like, Nick, take us out. One, two, three, dominate. Okay, you guys aren't in on this.
Yeah. I can already tell. I used to hate doing that in Little League basketball.
Really?
Yeah, one, two, three, dominate.
They would say that whatever team name you had, like we were the Magic.
Player. The Magic?
Magic on three. One, two, three, Magic. I'm not a big.
You're not a big rah-rah guy?
What'd you say? F it?
No, I did it, but I just felt weird doing it, even as a kid.
Usual Suspects on three.
That would, as an adult, I would feel more weird.
That's a lot of words, too, to say
just
on three.
Suspects. Yeah.
Specs.
Yeah. Just suspects on three.
Specs on three.
That's what I've been tweeting out a lot lately. Just
what?
The suspects.
Yeah.
The suspects?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lazy ass.
Yeah, because usual's the usual. That's an extra what?
Just put
eight
tuss,
letters.
T-U-S.
Well, that's even lazier.
But it's the whole show name, abbreviated.
Yeah. Not everybody knows what T-U-S is.
Well, the ones that matter do.
That's true.
Have I told you guys, too, speaking of the prayer thing, that that's what they do at OKC before every game, home game?
Say what?
Yeah, you've mentioned that.
It's crazy. When we played them in a playoff series, they would have, like, the true group prayer. Their group prayer would be the entire bowl of the arena.
What?
It was crazy.
The whole stadium
the whole arena does, like, a prayer.
It is the Bible Belt.
Oh, well, that would define it. Because once all you have to do is experience that one time, and you're like, what the heck is going... Legitimately, everyone did it.
I remember when you told us 2.5 years ago, and I really didn't believe you at first.
Yeah.
And then I asked around, and they're like, nah.
Yep.
Everybody makes it in time for this prayer, too.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Like, that's the big thing?
That starts out the quote-unquote experience of them being ready for Thunder basketball.
Wow. And we can't get Rockets fans to show up till the second half.
Dude, don't even get me started.
And you got people in Oklahoma City not wanting to miss the pregame prayer?
Yo, I've been in meetings.
Our city's going to hell.
I've been in meetings.
In a handbasket.
Several meetings when they were trying to come up with anything to get people in their seats earlier. You know when you go to like a Broadway show or like an orchestra, you know, see the symphony or whatever, and they do the bells to let you know there's like the 5-minute warning or whatever that the show's about to start? They tried that. They tried having those extremely loud drummers on the concourse.
To make you want to go to your seat?
They even tried cutting off concessions 5 minutes before tip-off so that no one could get any food or drink so that they'd have to go sit down, and that just pissed people off.
See, I just feel like they're not thinking outside the box. Mm. Like, if you just let a pack of wild dogs loose, and everybody's going to go get in their seat. What is your option? Is you're going to stand around chit-chatting and get tore up by a wild dog? Or go sit in your seat.
I'm going to go sit
in my seat.
They thought about telling season ticket holders, if you were in your seat for every game, and we would be able to scan somehow they were going
to
find that out, that you were going to get like a bobblehead collection. I go, these are people that make like hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you're not going to give them like a free private plane to an island type benefit,
about your
they give a rat's ass about your giveaway.
I would think that, I don't know that there's really an incentive that you could give. You know, just, look, if you want to see the game, be in your seat. If not, oh well. We're going to find out tonight because I'm going to try to go. Although, I forgot my clothes. Can I borrow your shirt? Did you shoot videos today?
Yeah.
Can I borrow your shirt?
No.
Okay. Well, that was nice of you.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna have to run to I guess the mall.
What do you need?
I need some sort. I can't go to a Rockets game, playoff game, looking like this.
I mean, you can wear my sport coat. I mean, my suit coat, but my suit coat is not gonna fit you.
It's
right.
Yeah, I'm gonna look like I'm wearing my dad's coat because you're not because you're fat, because you're taller than me.
No, you're fat. He's just fatter. That's what it is.
Oh, you said I'm fat. I thought you called him fat, bitch.
Y'all are both
call
fat.
Me fat. Hey,
so you're gonna look really fat if you wear his sports
why
blazer?
Because it's so big.
Yeah. What are you? Aren't you like, you're probably like a what, a 42 or like the blade 42 regular or something?
Who's he talking to?
What are you? 42 regular.
What are you, George Zimmer, the president of the men's warehouse?
I mean, I think he's in the ballpark. What are you, what he's talking about?
Nick's going to be here at the break filling on me. What you, about a 42 regular?
I'm being
regular?
Nice by calling you a 42 regular, by
about
the way.
You feel like, your chest feels nice and solid right there. That's a 42? What is that? What you got going there?
That's what he was doing when he was measuring me, man. I was like, damn it.
I don't know what I am, to be honest with you. I have no idea.
There's no way you can fit into a 42 regular. You're probably like a 48.
Oh, my God. 48, now you got to have just shoulders.
Now you're just being flamboyant. Yeah. There's no way I'm a 48.
Do you even know?
Way.
Do you know your blazer size?
So yeah, I'm like a 41 or a 40.
You're not a 41. Yeah, I'm like 41.
I am.
Nope.
Just because I have big chest muscles, don't think
chest
that this is fat.
Yeah.
No, this ain't fat, bro. This is solid steel.
He ain't no Phil Mickelson.
This is solid steel. I got it like that.
The other day, we went up 2 flights of stairs, and he almost passed. Man. He almost fell to the ground.
I went to the doctor today, by the way.
Yeah?
Not good.
She was in what regard?
She was like,
cut back on the cupcakes, bro. Like, it
no,
really,
she didn't say I was fat. She was like, she kind of did. She was like, all right, we're going to, so they took 5 vials of blood to do testing. She was like, we're going to run all these tests on you. And then I had to get a tetanus shot. And then she was like, you know, your weight, you're a little in the, your BMI is a little high. You're, you know.
Talking to obesity right now. You're having a conversation.
You could stand to lose a few pounds. I was like, oh, yeah? She was like, yeah, like 20. I'm like, that's not a few, ma'am. That's not a few. That's a lot. Like 20 pounds? That's like a 6-year-old. Like, you need me to lose a kid.
But don't they, like, exaggerate with how much you actually have to lose?
No, I should probably be about 180.
You should lose 20 pounds.
But I weighed in. I was proud of this. I weighed in just like this, phone in the pocket and everything at 200. So butt naked this morning, I was 197. So I'm doing good. I was 205 like 3 weeks ago. So I'm getting there. But I didn't need her pointing it out. But I hate going to the doctor. That's the first time I've gone to a doctor.
Yeah, Lisa's been on the kick lately. So I went to the dentist and then I scheduled a doctor's appointment. And then luckily they took my blood pressure already and it's good. Because that
what was it?
It was... What is it? 120 over 80?
That's what mine was.
Yeah. So that's, and in our family,
I was 121 over 80.
That's really good because our family has a history of bad blood, high blood pressure. Yeah. So I was good there.
I can't believe that neither one of us had high blood pressure based on this job.
Yeah. and so I was like, okay, that's part of it. That's good. But I still got to go finish up on the rest of it. And I'm like,
she told me, so she was like, all right, we're going to figure out why you're always sleepy. She said, do you sleep well at night? I was like, not really. I toss and turn a lot. She said, do you ever wake up trying to catch your breath? I was like, sometimes, I guess. She's like, do you snore? I was like, oh, yeah. Depends. If I lay on my back, I do. If I lay on my side, I don't. She's like, I may want to run a sleep test on you. You may have sleep apnea. I was like, oh, let me tell you right now, I'm not wearing a CPAP.
CPAP, yep.
Not happening. She was like, but it might really help you. I was like, hey, you ain't, no. I'll die in my sleep. I don't care. I'm not putting no Darth Vader mask on and trying to sleep. You know how much I toss and turn it is? I will choke myself to death getting wrapped around the damn thing. No, I'm not wearing that. My wife will be taking pictures of me at night, posting them on her Instagram. Look at this dumbass. I'm not doing that. No.
No.
Yeah.
I'm your father.
No, I'm not sleeping like Darth Vader at night. I'm not. It's not happening.
Wait a minute.
She was like, but you can do a home test just to see. I was like, ma'am, that's fine. I might have sleep apnea. I might die 50 times a night just because I stopped breathing for a second. I'm not wearing a CPAP machine.
Instead of.
It's not happening.
Instead of, Nora, I'm your father. It would be, Nora, who's your daddy? You could be walking around the house with like a gas mask on.
I'm not walking around. You sleep in it.
Yeah, regardless, I've seen them. I'm with you. I wouldn't want to wear that thing.
My mom and stepdad both got one and said that it was awesome, that they wake up feeling so refreshed and they sleep well. I was like, well, good for you, but I'm not doing that. I am just not. It's not going to happen. So if the reason I'm tired all the time is because I have sleep apnea and die 50 times in my sleep, that's just going to be what it is. That's just, she was like, but it's going to be, you know, it could cause complications with your heart and everything else. I was like, well, we're just going to have to deal with it because I'm just not doing that. I refuse. Now I got to travel. I made fun of a guy back in the day who traveled with a CPAP. I can't go back now. It's too late. I've already gone down the road of making fun of every person that has a CPAP. It's too late for me. I've burned that bridge. I can't do it. So this is not going to happen.
I think you should try it and at least take pictures.
You would like that.
I think so, yes. Not as much as Nick would like it, but I would like that.
I feel like the whole of the
internet. I think everybody would like it. Let's be honest.
Oh, definitely. Do you know? I'm sure LFA is already photoshopping me with a CPAP machine or a Darth Vader mask.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that's already in the works.
He does it on his phone, so he's quick.
It'll be before our guest gets here. It'll already be up. Watch.
For Halloween, just get Barry like a fake jetpack. Put the mask on.
I'm not doing it. No.
Okay.
I'm not doing it. She wants me to exercise. She wants me to do a sleep study. She said it probably is a hernia that I got trying to lift that lawnmower.
It's still there?
It's still there, but it doesn't hurt anymore. So I was like, do I need to do anything? She's like, well, if you strain again, you could pop an intestine. She goes, it's probably fat, which I was like, gee, thanks. She goes, no, sometimes that you'll have a little fat pop through, and that's why it doesn't hurt anymore. But if it ends up being your intestine that pops through, it could be a strangulation issue, and you have to go to the emergency. I was like, all right, this is just way too much. I can't process all of this.
I thought the golden nugget just healed on its own. I thought it was gone.
No, it's still there. Like, it's still got a bump. It just doesn't hurt.
Really?
Yeah. This is not good. I haven't been taking care of myself, but I am.
That's terrible.
I can't wait till you find out you're a mess, too.
We'll see.
Actually, though, you at least eat pretty well, and you exercise way more than me.
I'm starting to. So I've been on a kick now. I ran last night again, and I'm trying to get back into it, but that's why
it's too late. You can't go running the 2 days before the doctor and think
that's going to solve all your problems. No, I scheduled the doctor for May 1st so I can get a couple runs in first.
Yeah, it's going to be too late. They're going to find out.
At least they'll see progress.
God, I hope so. I hope to God on everything I own, they tell you need a CPAP machine.
Pretty sure that's not going to happen because Lisa would have already told me that because she'd have said I snore.
You don't snore?
And I don't anymore. I don't know why. I used to often, like if I slept on my back, that I would
snore. That's me.
Yeah. But Lisa said, because Lisa will be quick to tell me if I'm snoring.
She wakes you up?
Yeah.
Joe, wake up. You're snoring.
Yep.
Yeah, that's because I was asleep.
Exactly. Babe, what? You're snoring. Not anymore. I'm not because you woke my ass up.
There's 5 other rooms in the house. Go to one. Like, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Y'all should do the MS-150.
The worst is when women wake themselves up and blame you. You ever had that where she's over there? You woke me up. You're like, no.
No, I haven't gotten that
No,
one.
You woke yourself up.
The one I don't like lately is
it was that not the TV. That was you.
I'm sound asleep. She hears a dog, one of the dogs for some reason and figures they all have to go out. So then she tries to make as much noise as possible so that I will actually get up and go out. And so I intentionally, even
act
if
like
I am awake, I'm like... I'm just going back to sleep.
Act like you don't hear it. That's right.
All right, we're just getting started on The Usual Suspects. Hey, a full day. Lots of giveaways today, so stay tuned for that. We are going to give away a bunch of stuff that you guys are going to have a chance to win. We're also going to have Joshua Ochoa coming into the studio to talk about the MS-150 coming up this weekend, so that'll be good. And, of course, we'll always take your calls, tweets, and texts. 713-780-3776. Deadeye Laminax is going to keep shooting his shot.
I made it. It just wasn't quiet. I made it.
Not unusual. HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Call or text that number. Hit us on Twitter, where it is, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick. It's a Way Back Wednesday. It is Songs with lyrics hard to understand pre-2009. And we'll leave it there. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Say it. What are you upset about? Say it. What?
No, I'm not. Let's go to break.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Just getting started on ESPN 97.5. If, in case you were sleeping, like a lot of us in the Central Time Zone and Eastern Time Zones were last night, you missed one hell of an ending to the OKC Portland Trailblazers series. And you know what? If you're a Rockets fan, it may be, in retrospect, a good thing you missed it, because it may have stirred up a few memories of, oh, about, say, 5 years ago.
I saw ATX Hobo Girl immediately tweet out, or not immediately, but she tweeted out, I'm triggered by that shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My Starbucks guys this morning were the same thing. Like, it just brought back a whole lot of bad memories.
Stings when you think about it, but, boy, what do you talk about first? Do you talk about Paul George's reaction or the shot?
I mean, you can talk about all of it. You talk about the fact that last laugh. I saw you tweet about the wave.
My favorite part of the whole thing. Bye-bye. Just like a kid. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Y'all are bye-bye. We're moving on. Y'all are bye-bye.
It's just,
that was so good.
Dame time, you know, everything. But, you know, someone tweeted, and I retweeted it. It all goes back to 2016, where it started, where Dame was trying to pick up a ball right before a timeout, and Westbrook went over and kicked it so he couldn't get it, like a bully on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
And Lillard took exception to that, and it's just steamrolled to where we got to in this series. And credit to Lillard, though, because he just never has reacted.
Which is interesting, though, when you think about it, because that was Westbrook's big beef with Pat Bev, getting after it when you know that it's a timeout and all that.
Yeah?
And so he got hurt. So it would be interesting that Westbrook is going to act like that during a timeout or do those things. And, man, you didn't really like that when you got hurt. So,
and the thing is that you can look at it a million different ways, but he got the last laugh. You know, and everything. And Westbrook, I think that this is going to be a real crossroads year for Russell Westbrook, because you got to just step back and realize that everybody and their mother now is taking shots at you, because you took a ton of shots you didn't make. You shot less than 39% for the series, but yet you were constantly rocking the baby when things were good, talking mess, scowling at people, doing all the things you did, trying to stir it up with the other point guard that was supposedly equal to you on the other side. And at the end of the day, Damon Lillard looks like a class act that is a big-time player, and Russell Westbrook looks like a baby.
Can I tell you, I wasn't a big fan of Dame before this series. I'm a big Damian Lillard fan.
You should
now.
Be. Yeah,
I really am. Like, watching the way he handled this, he let his play talk, but he wasn't going to back down. He wasn't going to do a lot of yapping, like extracurricular yapping, but he handled his business and he took a shot. He was selective in the shots he took at Westbrook, not on the court, even on the court, but definitely the ones that he took at Westbrook, kind of extracurricular, like walking off, just waving. That's all he did. Just wave bye-bye. Bye-bye. All that extra stuff, like you said, the rocking the baby and stuff. None of that matters. And you're right, Westbrook, man. 31 shots last night. He averaged over 20 shots a game. And there were twice where he scored 14 points in the game. Where you can't go 5 for 20.
You can't do that. And here's the thing, and I think that's just another kind of layer and element that says he's wearing people out, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting the axe getting old.
That's a
the
great
whole,
point.
Yeah, the whole, you know, the scowl and the toughness. And you know what was funny? On ESPN the other day, Seth Greenberg was talking about this series before we even got to this point. And he said, you know, the one thing that I would say is I wouldn't want to coach Russell Westbrook. And I don't think enough people stop to take a step back to really realize what he's saying. Because as a coach, you're dealing with the over-the-top emotions. You're dealing with the whole tantrums in the huddles and you know, yelling at other players and doing all these different things. But that's fine and dandy if you're backing it up with outstanding play on the court. Like, if you're LeBron James, and we know that he has a tendency in huddles to yell at players and make his statements known about teammates and all these other things. But when you're backing it up at the end of the day as the best player on the planet and you're taking your team higher and higher, it's one thing. Russ, again, eliminated in the first round. I think this is the second. We talked about Portland previous. Second or third year in a row, they haven't won a road playoff game.
You're right. We talk. Somebody tweeted this out, and I don't remember who it was, and I should have saved it and given them credit. But they said, "Isn't it funny that but 2 years ago, maybe a panel of 100 experts unanimously voted that Russell Westbrook was better than James Harden." That they chose him to be the better overall player in the NBA. But all Westbrook has really done in his opportunities is squander them. I mean, at least James has on his resume getting to a Western Conference Finals twice. Like, he's done that. And so he's not just been one and done in the playoffs. Has he had big has he laid big eggs? Sure. But when you talk about the you know, the antics and the extra stuff and the, you know, wearing people out, James does it on the floor with some of the flopping and the things that he does. But at the end of the day, James still goes out and he plays ball. And he doesn't do a lot of yapping and a lot of that extra stuff that Russell does.
But safe to say, the difference right now between people giving the love to Dame that he deserves over Westbrook is an MVP trophy. Because if you look at it, otherwise, the way they've played, the team accomplishments, the fact that he carries his team when necessary in the case of Lillard, because of averaging a triple double, because we're so numbers driven in analytics these days.
Hey.
I don't know that's your thing, but at least you have an open mind to look at both sides of the equation, that there's more to it than that. But again, a lot of people were enamored with the whole, this hasn't been done in so long. Look at these numbers. It's a numbers game, and no one's ever put these numbers up consistently. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's a wins and losses thing, too. And it's, you know, it's team. Before, there's no I in team, right? But Westbrook says there's an M and an E, and it's right here. And that's why his triple-double is important. But when you look at what Damon Lillard is, the only other thing that you can say punishes him is playing on the West Coast. Because nobody really wants to stay up that late to watch his games on a consistent basis.
I'm going
to
make a prediction right now.
Okay.
This is how it goes. Next year, Damian Lillard will be your MVP of the league. I think a series like this against a guy like that wakes people up and says, ooh. And, you know, we talked about the fact that James isn't going to win it. And the reason is because it's not his turn. He had his turn. It's Giannis's turn. A series like this, and if Portland makes some noise in the next round and somehow, and I think they're going to advance. I think Portland ends up in the Western Conference Finals as well as they're playing. If Portland ends up in the Western Conference Finals and gives Golden State all they can handle or beats the Warriors, absolutely look for Damian Lillard to be the MVP next year because it'll be, quote, his turn.
This is the coming out
part. He earned it in this series to be on the radar as – because people talked about, oh, everybody's sleeping on Dame. But like you said, it's because he's on the West Coast. This is his coming out party to say, I deserve to be considered among the elites, and it's my turn to get that shine. I think he'll get it next year.
Yeah, because I was going to say when you started that, look, this is where Giannis was a year ago.
Exactly.
And now you're looking at
coming out
and
part.
The only difference is Giannis still has to develop a jump shot, and he's got parts of his game that he needs to continue to develop. Dame's already been there.
Dame out here knocking down 37 footers like they're free throws.
Nick, do you have that audio? The audio is fantastic. In the post-game press conference, he still handled everything with such class, but he actually said, and he gave credit to his shooting coach, it's a shot he's been working on, and his shooting coach said, one of these shots is going to come in handy.
So I was standing there looking at the rim, and I was like, this is a comfortable range. My trainer, Phil Beckner, we was working out the other night in OKC, and he was just like, just take a few deep ones, you know, off the dribble. Let's shoot a few deep ones. And he was like, I'm telling you, you're going to hit one of these. He just kept saying, you're going to hit one of these. And when I was standing there, I was like, I'm going to shoot it. You know, he was a little bit off of me, and I was like, it's enough space for me to just raise up and shoot it for game. And at the last second, he stepped towards me a little bit, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to pound, dribble, sidestep, and raise up, you know. And I just had to let it fly, you know, shoot the ball high in the air to give it a chance, and you know, that's what I did.
And yes,
he did.
It was
amazing.
Amazing
shot.
Just a bad shot, Paul George
to come out and say it was a bad shot, that's just sour grapes, bro. Yeah. Now, I will say you're not expecting that shot. No one's expecting you to shoot from 37 feet when, with the clock running, you might heave something up, but he literally took a jump shot. That was not a heave. That was not a desperation. That was a calculated step back 37-foot jump shot.
Someone on ESPN threw an extra name in there that I wouldn't have thrown in there, but they said there's only three guys on the planet where that's in range.
Curry.
Steph Curry.
Yep.
Damon Lillard.
Yep.
They said Kyrie Irving. I don't think that's his range.
I might add Harden or Gordon to that list before I would Kyrie.
Yeah, for how deep that shot was.
Eric Gordon will shoot him that deep.
It's a very select few. You're right. I thought you were going to throw Ryan Anderson in there.
He will shoot him, but he didn't
At one point he did, but yeah. Got him paid. But, I mean, there's a very select few that you could probably count on one hand of who you would say that's in range and a good shot, but that was in range and a good shot.
Yeah,
so,
no doubt.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We got a special guest in here we're going to get in the next segment. Before we get to that, I do want to tell you, with all the sports going on right now, you got NHL playoffs, you got NBA playoffs, you got the NFL draft coming up. Well, there's one place where you can go to catch all of it at the same time. It's Twin Peaks. It's sports and scenic views that go hand in hand. You can spend half the time indulging in one of their all-new Smoker Select menu items. That's smoked meats cooked low and slow over hickory wood, like the sweet and smoky ribs, Carolina pulled pork sandwich, and other items on the made-from-scratch menu. And don't forget about their 29-degree draft beers served at the absolute coldest temperature possible, and they're served by the best-in-class Twin Peaks girls. Whatever meal you choose, you're in for a meal worth cheering for, and TV's galore, the best place in the city to watch sports. I'm telling you, Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs getting better and better, and the draft this week. Why not go in and watch the draft? First round Thursday night, head to Twin Peaks. I'm telling you, it's the place to be for eats, drinks, and scenic views.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. As we said, just getting started and rolling in hour number one, 3 hour show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in the big city on this dreary day in Houston, Texas. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel, and we have some special guests. We talk about on the go, where there are going to be a lot of people on the go because the BPMS 150 is coming up. So with that, we have some special guests. We have Joshua Ochoa to my right, and to my left, Linda Bates, the president of the National MS Society. We've got royalty within us and in our presence. People, how are we doing today?
Right now, I'm actually just sleepy, but it was actually fun getting here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sleepy.
Yeah. Sleepy. What's up with that?
Oh, no, this weather,
plus
having MS.
Okay.
That makes you, so the weather makes you, I get that. Are you a when it rains kind of guy?
I'm a when it rains kind of guy. I'm like, it's get too hot kind of guy. I'm basically a night person where everything is silent. I'm good.
Nice.
Right now, no, it's just sleeping.
Linda, let's talk real quick about this because we know people in Houston, people in Texas, they get fired up about the MS 150. And it's a fantastic event. And obviously, I think that people look at the event itself, but there's really more to it. And it really can generate a lot of awareness and a lot of money for a good cause.
Absolutely. So I hope they get fired up because they got 150 miles plus to ride. Yeah. So they better have some adrenaline going this weekend. It's going to be great weather. This event is the largest fundraising event for the National MS Society, bringing in about $14 million every year. And nothing like it. I mean, it speaks volumes to the community here in Houston, how much they're giving back to really make a difference for people living with MS.
Do y'all do the rides all over the country?
We do. We have about 70 rides throughout the country. And this one is more than double the size of the next one in size. Wow. I mean, it's
always
large,
bigger in Texas, right?
Oh, absolutely. We actually have three other ones in Texas alone. One in Dallas
really?
Next weekend. We have one in San Antonio in the fall. And over the summer, we have one out in Midland. So talk about hot,
now,
real hot.
Joshua, you said do you ride in these?
Yeah, this is actually going to be my first year riding.
Okay.
So it's going to be a fun, exciting experience for me.
Yeah, it's they offered me because I got to do the jersey contest a few years ago, which was a lot of fun. I stopped at the midway point, or I went to the midway point. I got to MC the jersey contest, and they were like, "You should ride." And I was like, "That's a lot of riding. I don't know. I can donate. But this doesn't say ride a bike. Like, I don't, this body does not.
You'd be surprised. Anybody can do it. And the fun part is, we always say to people, you just got to get about 10 miles and then, you know, to the next, to a break point, and uh-huh. then go another 10 miles to the next break point. And eventually you're there in LaGrange overnight. Just and
do that 15 times and you're good.
And if you visit the Carbach or St. Arnold's tents enough, you feel go. Like you can make anything happen the next
then
day.
Then you'll be awake and you'll be fired up for it, and it'll all just seem like a blur.
Now, exactly.
Have you been training for it, Joshua? Have you been?
Yeah, I've actually been training for me, because I do have MS. I had to do a little bit more type of training. Uh-huh. So for me, I've been starting since, I want to say, October.
Okay.
Cool.
It's actually really fun. I tried the Tour de Houston. Uh-huh. I died on that. So I'm going to have fun this weekend doing the MS 150.
That's fantastic. The one thing I say about it is, and I have a lot of friends that participate, is it's a microcosm of the actual bigger purpose for this event, is the fact that it brings so many people together. You see all these teams, and they have the uniforms, and they, whether they have the sponsors or not, they have a reason behind why they're doing what they're doing. But then the bigger picture is, in doing what they're doing, it's bringing people together and it's raising money.
Absolutely. You see a ton of corporate support from the Houston market out there. And it's really awesome when we have people like Joshua who live with MS out on the ride, because they see the point of what they're doing and they're seeing the impact that they're having when they're riding and raising money. It's really awesome.
Did somebody have to come to you and ask, or was this a thing that, Joshua, where you decided, you know what, I benefit from this, from the fundraising, I want to do my part and go ride in it? I mean, what was behind the decision to do it this year?
Well, for me, it was actually a combination of both. I mean, I've had a ton of people who actually, like you said, they support me in that aspect. And then my team, Team Meat Fight, they're actually a Dallas-based organization. They basically are just barbecue-centric people. They get fundraisers from barbecues, and they actually help support people at MS by donating a bike to them.
Oh, that's great.
That's fantastic.
I was going to ask you, what is Team Meat Fight? I had no idea. Listen, I'm...
The way he
my
thinks,
mind was going want, a lot of different ways.
We don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
They sent
I'm
us a note,
you.
And I was like, "Team Meat Fight." I don't know what that means. Is this like human jousting? What's going on here? So good for you. I'm glad you clarified that it was a barbecue team. Okay.
So how do people stay? Obviously, at this late stage in the game, we're not going to get people that are going to get a whole lot in terms of the training to prepare and actually participate by riding a bike. Is there other ways that people can still get involved?
Oh, absolutely. So we have about 3,000 volunteers over the weekend that help us with luggage or buses or helping people and directing traffic. We still need volunteers. We have a great opening ceremonies this year out at Attucks Park and Ride. So huge party on Friday evening from 4 to 8. We have awesome new bands coming out. So we really love people to come out and just get a feel for what we're doing, participate, hang out with us. We've got a lot of people kind of explaining what MS is. So it'll be a great opportunity to just come out and see what we're all about.
So from a volunteer standpoint, is there a website they can go to sign up?
Yeah, if you go to bpms150.net, so .net, you can sign up right there to be a volunteer this weekend. We'd love to have you.
That's so definite. how do the donations work? Do you have people that will sponsor you, or are they saying for every mile you ride, they donate? I mean, tell people, how does the fundraising work from a rider's perspective?
Okay, so it is a little bit different. I mean, I've heard of different type of rides where they're like, for every mile you do, we'll go ahead and donate X amount of money. Mm-hmm. But with the BPMS 150, it's more like, here is a set donation that we're sending you. And even if you, for example, if you don't finish doing the full 140, 150 miles, mm-hmm. let's say you get down 25 miles and you're like, no, I need a rest stop. Let's go ahead and get you there. All of the money that they're donating to you is going to the National Society.
So you don't necessarily have to finish. They're donating just to donate for you in your name.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, the National MS Society, they have a ton of different resources where even if you feel like you can't finish, they're going to be like, no, we're going to get you there.
Nah.
We're going to get you to that
sure.
finish line.
That's great.
Fantastic. And so, Linda, that brings in the other element, which is, if people listening right now want to donate, they want to sponsor, is there a way that they can do that as well so that they can get involved? Maybe they want to sponsor Joshua. Maybe they just want to sponsor a team or someone else. Is there a way to do that as well?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Same website, bpms150.net. You can go on, hit the big button at the top that says donate. You can always look for Joshua's name, Ochoa, O-C-H-O-A, if you're looking for him, or any other team you want to support, or person, and make a donation that way.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Well, we wish you guys all the best of luck. Should be a fantastic event. It always is. Like I said, I have friends that participate every single year. They look forward to it. The fact the weather's going to be great is outstanding. If you're out there and you are thinking about something to do this weekend, you don't have plans, get out and volunteer. Get out and be a part of the event. As Linda said, the big event starting on Friday night, so you can get out there and enjoy some music and really get kind of get acclimated to everything that the event is about. And then, you know, get out and participate and have some fun. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate your time.
There you guys go. We're going to continue to roll on. We've got plenty more to get to on The Usual Suspects. We're going to step away for a quick break. When we come back, plenty more, including giveaways, including a Clint Black and Trace Adkins concert that you're going to want tickets for. So don't go anywhere. It is The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. Get back together, come back and see me. 3 days to the living room. I realize it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you yesterday.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on Wayback Wednesday in the big city, as we appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be, business, pleasure, or otherwise. Great to have the folks in and around the BP 150.
Indeed.
Hanging out and... getting ready for the big weekend. It is a big weekend, too. I know that you have, like you had mentioned, been involved with it. A lot of people look forward to the ride every year. Tony, the equipment manager for the Rockets, is so dedicated to it that even if it's Rockets playoff time, he will have someone cover for him so that he can participate in the BP 150. So it's very, very cool.
I should do it just to – I mean, obviously because it's a good cause, but it would make me get in shape. That's why I ran the marathon. I was like, oh – if I commit to and sign up for the marathon, I'm going to have to go train. And if I go train, I'll be exercising. If I exercise, I'll get in shape. I'm too late. By the way, the text line went crazy first segment and a half about CPAP machines.
Yes.
Every single person was like, bro, it's so worth it. Literally the best decision I ever made was to get a CPAP machine. I sleep better. I feel better. I'm like, really? Because that's what my mom and stepdad said, the same thing. They were like, oh, my God. We can't believe we live without it. Somebody was like, I'm 4 weeks in, and I love this thing. I don't know about that. It sounds like you're on, like, life support. It's over there just...
I mean, I get your like, hesitation.
I feel like it would be like those life support machines. That's what in my mind I envision it being. Is it just over there just pumping air into you? Like, I don't know. I can't do it. But yeah, somebody said it's really worth it. Unfortunately, my wife and I both have one. I feel like I don't know how I would be able to sleep with it, and because I toss and turn a lot as it is.
Yeah, but again, the other thing too, like if you roll over and you're
that's
like,
what I mean. Yeah, I would end up choking myself with
pillow a lot, too,
which I'm a side sleeper.
Yeah,
I don't know how
I am too. That's I don't.
I'm out on that. A lot of people are also asking us about, have we seen the story about Bun B?
Yes.
Bun B shot a dude trying to break into his house. Apparently, the guy was dumb enough to just knock on the door. So they're at the B residence, and someone knocks on the door, and his wife goes and answers it, and it's a dude in a mask. And so Bun heard it, grabbed his gun, confronted the guy, and shot him.
Good for him, man.
Yeah.
Southwest Houston. I don't understand why people would just do that, but maybe he didn't know it was Bun B. Maybe if he knew it was Bun B's house, do you think he still would have robbed that house?
I got to believe he knew or had a pretty good inclination of whose house he was trying to get into. At least he probably knew that.
Oh, no doubt. And so apparently Queenie is Bun B's wife, and the intruder was like, you got to give me something. So she gave him the keys to their Audi. So he says it said Bun B heard the commotion, grabbed his gun, confronted the intruder as he was getting in the Audi. A shootout ensued between the two. The intruder ran away, leaving his gun behind, which is already bad enough. Ends up at the hospital where he got arrested.
Yeah. Because I think in Texas,
stupid ass.
Like if it's on the property, I think you can like
castle law.
I think absolutely. You can kill him.
Absolutely.
I think
absolutely.
Can, yeah, in Texas, not a lot. Not every state has that.
The castle law?
No.
Did you know it's also the castle law extends to your car too? If you're out and about and someone tries to carjack you or steal your stuff, you are
you've shot somebody, haven't you? You've definitely shot somebody.
No,
at
I've never
that,
shot anybody that about being able to get away with it.
I told the story, 2 months ago about pulling my gun out because some dude got out of his car like he was going
to
walk over
someone tried
to
steal your truck
me.
And you shot that fool.
No, but if I'm not mistaken, and I'm no lawyer, so this is not intended to be legal advice, but I have to say that because there's some dumbass that'll
yeah,
be like,
there
he'll be in court be like, but Barry said on the usual suspects that I could murder a guy for trying to siphon gas out of my tank. Like, if I'm not mistaken, and I know we have lawyers and cops that listen and people of in the legal profession.
Lawyer Dave
can answer that. But your rights, your castle law rights, extend from your home to your vehicle.
I kind of want to know.
Did you say that?
I'm 90% sure.
Bun's
I'm right.
Wife
on
is Queenie.
Her name's Queenie.
So she's Queenie B.
I'm not gonna dong you, but it was so worth it there. It was so warranted at that point. I'm just letting you know. I don't dong you every time.
That's fine.
Just want
but
you
I'm
to
just
know
saying,
that, sir.
Because you went to the.
I just want to point out Bun B, very good friend of Lance Erlein.
Yes.
He may end up at this station one day.
And
I would
shoot
like
Joel.
I would like to point out Bun that if you're going to shoot anyone on this show,
it's the there's nothing
for
wrong
dumb
with
jokes,
saying it.
It was Joel Blank that said Queenie B.
It's Queenie B. She's Queenie B.
Just gonna point that out, Bun. Big fan of yours.
I've done shows with Bun before.
Big fan. Yeah.
And
I don't want to have a shootout with
I'm
you, Bun.
Cool with Bun.
I don't want it to come to that. That was all Joel Blank that made a Queenie B joke.
I own that. That's fine. Okay. Wasn't a joke.
It's
a statement.
What
Queenie
was it?
B. She's Queenie
it was
B.
Cool, Joel, that it was funny,
at the Beehive.
Oh my God. Now you're calling it the Beehive? Now you're just making it all about Beyonce at the Bun Beehive.
I really hope he gets mad and shoots Joel.
God, that's nice, Nick. Yeah.
Well, I don't want him to shoot you, but it'd be funny.
No, I do. I don't. Don't back away from it now. I would. Are you kidding me? How great
would
that
be? It'd be funny if he just yelled at him.
Hey, guys, did you see where Bun B shot your partner? Yeah, kind of knew about that one, didn't he? Didn't need TMZ to tell me that.
Good for Bun B, though.
Absolutely.
I mean, the fact of the matter is if people are going to be that dumb.
Yeah. Come on in.
I mean, yeah. Obviously, it's not rocket science at all times, but obviously there was not a lot of thought put into it if you went right to the door.
No. I mean.
I just think it's scary considering a lot of people in Texas own shotguns, and you usually can't survive a shot from a shotgun. I'm sure there's some sawed-off shotguns, some illegal shotguns around.
You don't need a sawed-off.
You don't.
Mm-mm.
You don't. But I'm sure there's some illegal guns that people...
Oh.
This is Texas. People will shoot you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why... Well, I guess if you're put in a corner, though, that's what makes people do those things.
If
they don't
a
have
guy
no money.
Shows up to your front door in a mask and comes in, forces his way in when you open the door, you pretty much have to shoot that guy.
That's still a tough decision to make.
No, it's not.
For me, it
like,
is.
Like, 0% chance that I'm hesitating. I'm shooting that
we
guy.
We know that.
The only
you've shot somebody in your truck before.
No, the only way that I'm not doing that is if my wife is anywhere potentially in harm's way between me and that
guy. But that's what I'm trying to understand. So you said she gave the keys to the car to the intruder.
Yes.
And Bun was in another room?
Bun was upstairs, grabbed
that's
his
the,
gun,
that's the
heard
that
it going on.
Well, that's a tough situation. Man, can
according
you imagine
to what
that?
TMZ says, look, I'll just read you. It's a very short read. Bun B got into a shootout inside of his home with an intruder who tried to make off with the rapper's wife's luxury car. Law enforcement tells TMZ at 5:45 last night, which that's the middle of the
yeah,
day.
Yeah, sun's still shining.
There was a knock at Bun B's door. His wife, Queenie, opened it, thinking it was a possible delivery to find a masked man holding a gun on the other side. The intruder demanded valuables, and Queenie offered up her Audi in the garage. Bun B heard the commotion from upstairs, grabbed his gun, and confronted the intruder as he was getting into the Audi. A shootout between the two ensued, and the intruder ran away, leaving his gun behind. We're told several hours later, the masked man showed up at the Houston area hospital with a gunshot injury to his shoulder. The man, boy, that could have been a headshot. He got lucky. Man was treated, then arrested for 2 counts of aggravated robbery with a weapon and 1 count of burglary.
I'd have shot his ass in the ass and everywhere else.
Yeah, see, I think that's an easier decision because his wife was in a different part of the house. So he was obviously coming to the rescue of his wife. So I feel like they both made the right decision. I think she did right. by giving the keys because sure honestly, it's probably a nice away. Enough Audi yeah. too where you can like remote stop it or something.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's another thing. And then he made the right decision because it was obviously an initial conflict between the intruder and the wife.
You imagine? I wouldn't care about that car at that point. I would put a bullet hole through it.
No question.
I'd shoot you through the windshield.
That's an easy decision.
The yeah. anxiety and stress of you're upstairs, your wife is in that compromised position. And you're like, you've got to do something, but you're obviously like, you got to keep it together because you're freaking out because you're like, man, I got to protect my wife. That's
so
crazy.
This is why, though, this is those type of scenarios, and this is why they'll tell you. In fact, my brother-in-law was just, he's a police officer. He lives in Little Rock, and he was just in town, and we were just talking about, I showed him the 1911 that I bought, and he was like, do you go to the range? I said, not as much as I should. He's like, first of all, you just set aside one day a month to go to the range and shoot. But he said, also, he said, it sounds funny and it looks funny, but you have to run through scenarios at your house. He said, a lot of times people aren't prepared. And when it happens, you don't know. So he said, know where your gun is. Practice if someone were to just kick your front door in, how long would it take you to get to the gun? What would be your first reaction be? And then he talked about just sometimes just sitting there, unload the gun, obviously, but he said just practice pointing and shooting at the TV. That way you're not, because sometimes you line up, you try to line up with the sights, and you're going to forget all that when there's an intruder.
That's what I mean,
but
yeah.
if you just point and shoot and you practice that, he was like, there's nothing beats being prepared, especially if you are a gun owner.
Because I'm saying, with the anxiety of knowing your wife's in a compromised position downstairs, you want to react as quickly as you possibly can, but you also have to be in control so that you're not just spraying bullets yeah. everywhere and trying to, yeah.
I keep dummy shells. They make dummy shells for shotguns and for pistols. And so I keep those around to practice loading and unloading. And if you get a jam, what do you do? And you don't want to do that with live rounds. So I'll literally go through all those different scenarios at the house just in case, because I do have a shotgun.
Mossberg 500. Is about reps, though,
Mossberg 500. I practice loading and unloading that all the time, because if something does happen and that jams, you want to be able to, you know, if you get a misfeed, you want to be able to clear it and get back, you know, to where you need to be to defend yourself and your wife.
It goes back to when you were in school, practicing fire drills and everything else.
Absolutely.
Nothing more important than your own
biggest
safety.
Mistake most gun owners make is they buy it and then never touch it again because they think, well, I got my gun. That's all I need. No.
That's bad. And actually, shooting ranges.
Gotta go to the range.
When they, like, if you ever, like, pay for lessons, if you're that person who wants to learn from, like, a professional, they will provide you a gun, but they encourage you to buy your own and practice on that gun.
That's
because
right.
you
so
know
you're comfortable
gun.
With it. Yeah. Because
I had one of my guns had a failure to feed like every third round, and I would have never known that had I not gone to the range. And if, imagine if I'm in a shootout and I've never shot this gun, and I don't know that the ammo that I'm using isn't good for the gun, because ammo matters. So like you have to know all those things. You have to know if I put this ammo in this gun, it's going to fire every time. Because the ammo I had was it was a hollow point, but the point was too sharp for the feed ramp in the gun, and it would just stick and jam. Now imagine that happens, and you've pulled your gun out, you go to shoot one time, yeah. you miss, the other guy has a gun, you don't know what to do. Like you're like, oh, why is my gun not working? Why is this bullet stuck in here?
Yeah, the wrong All time that kind to of fight stuff through a mishap know. Is when it's actually a life and death situation,
yep.
not just a practice.
I just realized
thing.
I made a mistake messing with Barry all these years. Probably has. You'll please, probably shoot him in the studio.
You will God. Be the second guy he shot.
Practicing all these scenarios
maybe
in his house.
Wherever you are is your castle. God, I hope so.
1 hour in the books. Still 2 hours to go with the big show. Plenty more to get to. And, of course, if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. You can call or text that number. You can hit us on Twitter. Lots of giveaways throughout the show as well. We've got things to mention, things to do. And, of course, it all starts with you. It is the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.